The following message was preached in October 1997 when ministered at Grace Assembly in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The title of this message is Tabernacle of David. May this message will be a blessing.
So the small David, the small David's heart, which God has put in him. Tonight I want to share the Tabernacle of David, what God has put in his heart. Not just being the king of Israel. That's not in his heart. That's God ordained him to do. But his heart is after God's drawing praise. He wants to find the drawing praise for God's presence, for the Ark of Covenant. That's the only thing that matters. It's not to be a king of Israel, but want to see God's presence more and more, not just in his life, but in his people. So I'd rather be door watcher in your house. I want to behold your glory. That's the heart of David. He wants to be in that place that he can behold his glory all the time. And that's why when he become the king, he only one desire to see the Ark of Covenant come back to the house of God. And today in China, we see that happening all over China. God's restoring the tabernacle of David in this end time. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You let us share your vision, share your burden, share your heart, Lord. In this end time, in this hour, Lord. You are waiting for us to do the great things, Lord, because you are coming back soon. Oh, Lord, let us be rejoicing in expectation, Lord. You're gonna restore that tabernacle of David. You're gonna come back to your own people, Lord. Your presence will come back again, Lord. We'll cover whole earth, Lord, to see your glory, Lord. Lord, with such a rejoicing in this end time, not just waiting for be called up to the heaven, Lord, but knowing your glory we're gonna manifest in this time, in this hour, Lord. Lord, give us that call, that knowing that this is gonna be done in the days ahead, Lord. Lord, may every one of us have part of it, oh God. I thank you, Lord. Speak to us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I always say the revival begins from each individual. That's why God first come to me. And I didn't know. I know there's a burden in me for China, but I didn't know what God wanted to do. But when I get my personal revival, and then everything changes. My heart's quiet for revival, because that revival changed my whole life. So wherever I go, I not just want to have a good service. I not just want to have a conference. I want to see the life change. Sometimes if I go to a meeting, only one life changes. That's happy for me. Hallelujah. Because I was so rejoiced to see the life to be turned around. That so be so dry. That be so so hunger to wait for the Lord to come again in the desperation. And then I see God comes and change everything around. And nothing can compare to that joy I have. So because I experienced that. And now God just bring that revival fire wherever I go. Sometimes I just touch with some individuals. Sometimes I touch the whole church. Sometimes I touch the whole area. But it doesn't matter. It's always come from the individuals. Start from each individual and set them on fire again. And such a rejoicing in this end times that God moved in that way. And God put the burden in me in Acts chapter 15, verse 16 to 18. Say, in the last days, he's going to come back. To doing one thing is to restore the tabernacle of David, which was fallen. And he once again want to restore that. At the beginning, I don't quite understand what that means. I begin to read the books and begin to search for that. And then I find out why, Lord, for the tabernacle of David, not the tabernacle or the tombs of the Moses. Why the tabernacle of David is that important in this end time? And then I find our most important things in the tabernacle of David is the Ark of Covenant that represents the presence of the Lord. And I think that's kept the David's heart. Since when he was a teenager and God come to him and put a burden, put a seal in him. And for this purpose, not just be a king of Israel, but God knows his desire to have that presence come back. So God developed a small David in his life to wait for these things to happen. Even though in that young age, in one instance, the Ark of the Covenant had been caught by the Philistine, by the enemy. But David, you know, in, I think when he was young, he knows about this, and he's waiting for the time and can fulfill his heart desire to bring by the covenant. But once he become the king of Israel, that's his own desire. Just bring that ark, come back. Bring the ark, come back. Sometimes I think about 1991, when I get my first personal revival. It's so dry. I look at the church. I say, Lord, you speak to us that to fulfill your great commission. But I look at the church. There's no big power. There's no much life changes. And people just sit in the church and then go back and come back next Sunday. I'm so desperate. And look at my own life. There's no hope. I just live like everybody else and just accept, come to Sunday service. And in that total desperation, I say, Lord, where's you, the God of Elijah? Where's the God Elijah? Where's the God that do those wonderful miracles and divide the Red Sea? Where's this God? And reveal yourself to me. I cannot stand any longer. I cannot stand any longer in this religious activity. Show your reality to me. In that desperate praise, I humble myself. I cry out to the Lord. And the Lord just appeared to me and then changed everything around. The things I think never happened, never possible. And when he began to reveal himself, the hope rises in me. Because I see from a completely different perspective. Not from my own perspective anymore. I see from his eyes and his praying. And now I just so rejoicing and waiting for what you're about to do. Hallelujah. So David is have this heart to wait for the Lord to come back to his own people. And God has developed his characters. Wait for this vessel to become mature. So David has been through very, very difficult times, having been persecuted from every place. And I look at David's life, anointing come, but some in the soul, also in David. But I sense there's a two kind of anointing. So being raised up so fast and become the king of Israel, but he fallen so fast. But David didn't try to do his own, just submit to the Lord's hand and wait for the Lord's timing. But Lord used the suffering, Lord used all kinds of circumstances to prepare this king of Israel. But when his times come, and God raised him up, but in that time, David know the long in his heart's desire. Lord, I want your presence to come back to your people. No longer in the enemy's hand. No longer in the somewhere be ignored for almost 100 years. Lord, I want to see that come back. In the Psalm, I believe it's 132, that mentioned the heart of David. He said, I cannot go to my house. I cannot close my eyes. I cannot go to my bed unless I find the drawing places of his upper covenant for the Lord to draw in his people. He said, I cannot have a 1 minute rest unless I see that fulfilled. And that burden caught his heart. He just, every time think about these things just kept in his heart. He's the only one desire, Lord, to see your ark come back, to see your presence come back. If you have a vision, I always tell the people, that will kill you. That will cost your life. Today, people after vision. Give me vision, Lord. Give me vision, Lord. But if you really have a vision, that will cost your life. It costs you a lot. Sometimes I cannot get to sleep in the middle of the night, cry out revival for China. It's just in me all the time. I cannot sleep because that burden is so strong. I cannot stand in the comfort zone. I have to go. I have to go. That burden is so strong. In the China, they have to sing the song. It's, you know, we want to see the China for mission. The young evangelists, everyone have the same kind of burden, same kind of commission from the Lord. We want to see the China, not just revival in China, but all the people will rise up to do the to fulfill the great commission, go to the Jerusalem, wait for Jesus coming back. You can ask the smallest one to the biggest evangelists from China. Most of them have the same vision, and they are doing it. Cost their life, but they don't care. Even one fall down, the other one will go forth. Hallelujah. Until that vision has been fulfilled. We want to see the presence of God just come to his people. Come to his people. And then I asked the Lord, and the Lord showed me in Acts 15 and 16 to 18. And see, there's a fight. There's a fight stage of these things come to come true, either in the individual life or in the church or in the city or in the nations. The first one, he's going to restore the fallen tabernacle with David. The first thing he's going to restore is praise and worship. That's why today we see all over the world, the praise and worship has come back to his people. But with a purpose. And people just enjoy the praise and worship, but didn't go further, didn't press on for what God is in store for us. In my church, we used to have a very good prayer meeting, and everybody is singing the lovely song like tonight we have. We just put our heart to the Lord. And Father is really pleasing. The prayer meeting goes for about 3 hours. And to the end, and we can sense that such a presence of God, the Father is so happy. But then it's about 10 or 11 o'clock p.m. and most of the people want to go home. And at that time, since God gave me a different eyes, I can see, Lord, because the Father's heart is so pleasing and he just wants to give the gifts to his children. And now all the children want to go home. At that time, I'm sitting in front. Oh, I say, Lord, if no one wants it, Lord, give me all. Just give all to me. And Lord, not for my own sake, Lord. Let me be that donkey for Jesus. Not bring the Bible. Let me bring all the blessing into the China. Because people is a hunger for that blessing, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, just let me get it. Not for my own. The people hunger for your presence so much. They are crying out day and night. Lord, people, they don't want here. Lord, just give all to me and I carry over. I free get and forgive. So that's happening. When I go to China, I just free give. And people just hunger. Sometimes, you know, God just interrupt my sermon. You know, people all filled with Holy Spirit. They cannot wait. And God's so pleasing, just want to give the gifts. So there's always a purpose. Not just a praise and worship. That's a key. One thing God showed me, you want a revival? I said, yes, I want a revival that so much. And Lord said, I give you a key of David. I two times mentioned the key of the house of David. One in New Testament, one in the Old Testament. And Lord, show me that's a praise and worship. You're going to open the door. You're going to open the windows of heaven and bring down the revival through the praise and worship. Not just dancing, not just shouting, not just praising, but you are doing the things that you are using that key. You're going to open many windows. So I just begin to practice it in my own life too. In my personal a prayer time, I just practice that into the presence of God through the praise and worship. Because I know, you know, if I want to be a leader, I have to practice that path myself, and I lead the people into it, into God's presence. So each time through the praise and worship, I not just get excited, I just want to into that presence. Because in His presence, everything gonna happen. Everything which is impossible gonna become possible. So the only thing I desire, I just want to see His presence, to enter His presence. So that means the second stage, we're going to enter His presence. And not just in a small degree. If we will give the high praise, if we will just press on, we just sacrifice a little bit, we're going to see greater measure of His presence. Sometimes I say revival begins after midnight. Only the people left, we're going to catch it. Because, you know, people today don't want to pay the price. In China, we have a meeting 24 hours. And often God show up in the last moment in a greater way. Because He know people don't want to leave unless God, you bless me. Unless you show your great measure. We are not satisfied for the old wine. We need a new wine. Lord, just give me more of your presence. And then we just continue to come into His presence. And later on find out, not just into His presence. When he come to his people, he always want to do something. He always want to move. That's anointing comes. He comes to his work, you know, which we cannot do. You know, we try very hard, you know, try to do something, but the secret is if I draw the presence of God come and let him do it, it's much easier, much save my time. So often in China when I'm ministry, you know, after bring the presence of God come to the meeting, the only thing I can do is just watch. I just watch what he did. And life been changed all everywhere. You know, how can I touch hundreds of people?
and he's doing his job. I just look at it and marvelous, marvelous. So fine, he said his people come with the power to heal, to deliver, to set them on fire. But there's also a purpose, not just stop there. I see those young evangelists on fire, his own people first on fire when he come with that presence and come with the power to change life, first clean them up, you know, heal the hurt in their heart and set all the bondage free, but not stopping there and move them ahead and charge them and cause them on fire for God, not just stay there and do nothing and know their purpose and then go forth. That's the third, fourth stage, is set his people on fire to do his work. And then fifth thing that's talking about, then the Gentile will come. People didn't know the Lord will come to the to where the fire is, where the presence of God is. We often in the past, I tried to move people to go out for evangelize, to do the mission. But I found one thing, if I set them on fire, now I don't have to ask them, they're gonna want to go forth. Hallelujah. They don't want someone to push them. They will say, can I go out? Hallelujah. When in my group, when we set on fire, those young people just want to go out to preach the gospel. Because that fire just burned in them. You know, and just simple things, they begin open their mouths, people got saved. It's not something formula, it's not something we try to do. You know, in China it's the same, even greater way. You know, they didn't preach a complicated gospel. They say, do you want Jesus? Do you really want to know Jesus? And people begin to weep and weep and weep, give the light to Jesus. Just simple question. But those young evangelists just set on fire and just want to go forth and leave everything aside. And then I find one thing is we must set the people on fire. Then they're going to fulfill that great commission. I think that that's very important because in the outside, I didn't see much people really dedicate their life to go out to preach the gospel and for missions. No, we try very hard, but things like where this revival is, the people going to give their life, dedicate their life in huge numbers. In China, I see the young people want to give up everything and serve the Lord. You know, thousands and thousands. We just cannot hold it. So many workers. You know, when revival comes, everyone wants to go to full time. Everyone wants to go out to preach the gospel. You know, we don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough materials to equip them. But their hearts ready. They just want to go. So some of them just go out. Some of them just wait for time. You know, we train them, we set them on fire, they just go forth and then come back again, get more training, and then go out again. So everybody is busy, everybody is shaking the darkness, you know, by the power of the Holy Ghost. I find where revival is, it's so easy to motivate people to go out to preach the gospel. And the things that we just need to supply them, the teachers, materials, and right now it's a very difficult time. Last past 2 years, there goes tremendous persecution. And sometimes resources is gone, and some of them even have to go to work because they cannot survive. And sometimes I go to the battlefield, I go to the mission field, I just cry and cry and cry. Because so many people want to go out preach gospel, so many people respond to gospel, huge numbers. But there's not enough resources to get them going. And from outside we have so much blessing, but we didn't do much about it. It's a completely different picture. But I think even in the lack of resources, those young evangelists still go forth. They didn't wait for the resource to come. They just by faith and go on. And God's still blessing them in huge quantity. Especially, I just come back from Inner Mongolia. They tell me that people receive the Lord by thousands every day. Just through the normal young evangelists, unnamed preachers, which have a fire of the Holy Ghost, and set them to go forth. So I believe God just want to stir up his people. Not just have a wonderful praise and worship. Not just see his presence come. But there's a purpose too. Not just see us on fire and then stay there. I'm so happy to see this equip the saints for the work of ministry. Because in China, it's not depends on the senior pastor or one or two pastors to do the work. Now all the people is moving. All the people is like army. Everybody know his job. Although there's not very good organization, you know, but they already do the job. That matters. Sometimes people teach the theory of CL churches. I say China already doing it, but they probably don't know the theory about it, but they actually doing like in Acts. And they are practicing it. They are doing the things that in Bible. So in this kind of a situation, not just when the presence come to his own people, and God then would let us know the destiny of our life. Like Paul has encountered with Jesus, the first thing is, Lord, who are you? And then, what I can do for you, Lord? There's always come with commission. Always come with vision. The first thing is, God, Lord, going to have us to know his presence, to know himself. And then, Lord, we're going to let us know our destiny. And then we go forth. But first things need that fire to burn in us. Sometimes I don't understand what's inside of me, but I know God's prepared something. He's doing something. And when time comes, it just begins to reveal more and more and more. And every step going to be clear and clear and clear. I just be obedient and walk on this path he prepared for me. Hallelujah. In the David's heart, he wants to see that presence come, that the people will know this God of Israel is still among his people. Not for his own ministry, not for his own kingdom. He just wants to see the people know that God's still alive, God's still so real in among his people. So in the tabernacle of David, there's only one furniture, that's Ark of Covenant. Like everything they put aside. Because Moses' temple is means the Old Testament, and David's tabernacle is represent the New Testament when God come to our this body, make us body a temple of the Holy Spirit. And one thing is matter is that God's present in our heart. And the old things is gonna fade away. So God's moving from the Old Testament into the new things. They are from Moses' temple into the tabernacle of David's. No longer we depend on the high priest go into the Holy Holy once per year for us. Now Jesus opened a new way. We can come to his presence directly, each person. Hallelujah. By his own blood, open a new way. And the curtains are already broken to half. What a new message, what a joyful things that we have. We can come to his presence without other people to represent us. We can come as a child, just come to him. And David knows the secret. David knows about this secret. God is a merciful God. Even though he has fallen into the sin when he became a king, you know, as a Moses Lord, there's no forgiveness. He's gonna be stoned to death for the idolatry. If he go back to the Moses tabernacle, the only thing he's gonna get is the judgment. Gonna be stoned to death. So David, when after he sinned, he got repentance, he knows he cannot go to Moses' temple to ask, he go to the presence of the Lord, ask for mercy. He knows God is not just the Old Testament, he knows God is a merciful God too, and will forgive our sins. So he run to the presence of the Lord. Come, I think he just go to his closet, or he go to his own tabernacle. And there is God's presence, and he asks for mercy, asks for forgiveness. And David's heart is different. It's different. He knows God in a more personal way. King of Solomon asked for God for the anointing, for the wisdom to rule over people. But David's heart is, Lord, let me draw in your house. Let me behold your glory. See, today people try to build a big ministry, try to build the big churches. It's so easy to call our heart away. So I said, Lord, the only thing matters is you with me. All the ministry is your work. I just want to please you like King David, the one after God's own heart. Let me dance before you. Let me just smile at you. You know, sometimes I say, why today the spirit of joy hit his people so strong? I say, because there's so many sad faces in the church. When the father looked down, everybody sad. Everybody have so many requests. You know. He hardly finds some smiling faces. Such a simple things. and Book of Romans say, you know, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's a, you know, joy in the Holy Ghost. And you can serve God in this way and praising him. I never know where on the floor and laughing and God's praising and he even jumping for my joy. I said, Lord, that's, if I can do that to please you, just let me keep on doing that. Sometimes I just dancing before the Lord. That's the most joyful things I want to do. I go to China. You see, what's my precious is I can praising God with his own people. It's not give a big sermon or do the ministry. It's I can have a privilege to praising God as a small child with all the children together. Hallelujah. just praising God and praising the Father. You know? Sometimes I didn't do much. We just dancing and dancing and dancing and Spirit come give the whole praise. Everybody fall on the power. We have wonderful time with the Father. You know? And people will cry out, Abba, 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 Abba. Very interesting. In the whole room, you can see people fall on the floor, just keep on crying, Abba, 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 Abba. No matter you are 5 years old or 80 years old, all do the same. All become children in God's eyes. You know? And watching, amazing. You know? All become baby, you know, in kindergarten. All the baby here cry out for Abba, Abba. It's such a revelation that we are children of God. As the Holy Spirit come to bring us to that stage that there is no, you know, the Spirit of Son. But we can cry out, Abba, Abba. I think that's the first revelation. It's not just be filled with Holy Spirit and go out preach the gospel. That's necessary. The first thing, I think God restore our identification. You know we are the Son of God. I believe Jesus, when he come before his ministry, God prepared him. You know, in the river of Jordan, the Spirit God come down into his body and the heaven opened wide, say, this is my beloved Son, who has pleased. I think that set the foundation of Jesus' ministry. Because later on, people tried to make him king of the Jews. You know, tried to make him king, tried to pull him up. Or some other people say, you cast out demon by devils, you know, and try to call him devils. But for Jesus, it doesn't matter. Because he already know who he is. He's just Son of God. Because God had proved it. God had confirmed it. You know, he kept such confidence. You know, even people try to praise him. People try to persecute him. Doesn't matter. He already know who he is. He don't need people to recognize him. Because Father already identified him. So today, you know, people are fear of other people. Or people try to give one another honor and glory. But Jesus, the only thing he cares is just, you know, pleasing the Father. He said, I'm not glorifying myself. There's one going to glorify me. But I want to give him glory. I want to come to come, to fulfill his will, to do his will. That's all in his heart. Even go to the cross. He didn't look left, look right. He just all to the cross to finish the destiny God has set for him. And even people don't understand him, people try to kill him, but no one can stop him. Because his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. And today the whole world is waiting, the whole creation is waiting, the manifestation of Son's God to come forth. That means you and me. And so we need that revelation, we are Son of the Living God. We're going to demonstrate that, we're going to manifest that. And wherever I go, I heal the sick, I cast out demons, you know, I preach the repentance. Because when Bible says when Jesus come, and the Son come manifest of destroy the work of enemy, and destroy the work of devils, and say the kingdom of God is near. And wherever you go, just preach that kingdom of God is near. And by all your deeds, and they didn't know this kingdom of God is just in near them, and it's not outside, in their heart. So we're so rejoicing today to see God restore that relationship, that son and daughters want to be in his presence, to know him more, to hunger for him more.